Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, bud.
Hey, dude.
That's a good response to hey, bud. But don't you think, is it just me? But like, you know, I know it's short for buddy, but like, doesn't bud like immediately mean that person's like mad at you or being condescending?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, bud. Hey, you can't go over there, bud.
Or I got bad news.
Listen, bud. You're not allowed in there. You know, but some people still use it in the way that like they're being friendly, but like I think they don't understand that there's an automatic condescension in there.
My buddy.
Anyway, our guest today is a comedian I've known for I don't know how long. Maybe he can tell us. We first met somewhere in the South, and now he's in New York. And we'll get all up into that with the one and only Justin Thompson.
Oh.
Have you ever met him?
I don't think I have.
That's a funny reaction then. Somebody you haven't met before. What if he's, he could be, you know, he could be lame. It's Tuesday, April 6th, 2023. Let's go to work. Hey, and hello to Justin Thompson. How are you?
Hey, Doug. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, bud.
Said bud again.
I know. I did it on purpose. It's called comedy. So during the cold open, Justin, that you were not privy to what we were saying, I talked about how when somebody calls somebody bud, it's generally somebody's about to get yelled at, not meet a new friend. You know, like you can't go over there, bud, that kind of thing. But you truly are a buddy. When did we first meet? Do you have an idea of when that happened?
The first time I was on Doug Loves Movies was probably 2015, 2016.
And where was that? It was somewhere in the South?
Yeah, we did that in Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay, so yeah, so I was in Greenville. Josh Wolf was headlining that club that weekend. It was a comedy zone.
Mm-hmm.
And who do we get to be the third person?
I think it was Jeff Tate.
Oh, okay. All right.
Could be wrong.
I could kind of see you, me, and Jeff Tate smoking in that like brightly lit back alley area behind that club. I could see Josh not being there because he gets high, but he doesn't really like to do it when he had two shows to do that night, I think. Okay, so then from there, I had figured out that you were in the South somewhere and asked you to do it.
Yeah, and I was living in Atlanta at the time, but I grew up in South Carolina, so I was from the area, kind of. And then after that, you know, I think you had me on in Atlanta and then Charlotte. And
right, anytime I was anywhere down south, I just assumed you were close enough.
And it was, it worked out great.
To come by, and then, but then eventually... You know, after all those places that we did shows together, Jamaica, Montego, baby, why don't we go? Then we ended up on, you're now a New York comic officially, and you must have done Doug Loves Movies in New York at least two or three times.
Yeah, we did the 12, 13, 14, 15 guests of Christmas probably 3 times now.
Yeah, the number of guests, yeah, definitely. I end up overbooking it because I have too many friends.
And I'm really grateful for that. I feel like, you know, if you had to cut a name down, it could have been me.
Well, you know, especially alphabetically, because T comes, you know, Thompson is, you know, even though it's a strong last name, it does, the letter T does come fairly late in the alphabet. I mean, it's, you know, it's even after S, for crying out loud. But, how long ago did you make the move to New York?
I moved here in 2019, I think. It was about a year before the pandemic hit.
Okay.
So, I know. Sorry.
Great timing there. Good job.
Yeah, I'm a genius. And, you know, it took so long to get here that I was just like, all right, well, I'm going to stick around. I know a lot of people that left, and I know people that have left and came back. But, yeah, I've been here the whole time since then.
So you did a lot of rooftop shows, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, rooftop
just to get stage
in the park.
Time.
One time I was walking around the other day. I remember one time I did a set in Times Square on the street, and God, it was such a nightmare. I was must have been really desperate for laughs and needed something in my life.
Oh my God!
Was that like for one of the Times Square clubs? Like what was behind that? Like LOL or one of those?
No, it wasn't even a club, just some random guy setting up a speaker and
oh no,
trying to catch people as they pass by. And luckily I have enough short jokes that I could like kind of catch someone's ear as they're walking by and hit a punchline, and then they laugh and keep walking.
Right, but they were just passing through, because like Times Square was weird during lockdown,
right?
Times,
like,
right?
There were people there and on the street, but it's still, I think at that point, gathering indoors was frowned upon.
Yeah, so the Broadway was, all the Broadway shows were closed, so like the tens of thousands of people walking around wasn't happening.
Yeah, they were desperate for entertainment, and they just kept on looking.
I don't know which is worse. Yeah, they still, you think it would have been easy to get their attention since all the shows were closed, but and it was free to just listen to you, but they still had to go just walk around. I mean, I got to, you know, I ended up just in a few different cities during the, you know, some of the more intense parts of the pandemic. And, you know, I got to say, I don't want to be the last man on earth, but being one of the last few hundred wouldn't bother me too much. Because, you know what I mean? Because these places that are normally so busy, when they're deserted, there's something delightful about it. It's just like, the dream, yeah, when you're going to an amusement park is it's going to be empty, right? Like you're dreaming of going on a day when for some reason nobody shows up. So you just get right on all the rides, do all the pictured spots you want, do whatever you want, throw up on the ground anywhere.
Yeah, like, in New York, you know, it was amazing when there weren't any cars on the street in Manhattan. I would ride my bike into, you know, I live in Brooklyn. I'd ride into the city and make a day of it, ride up to Central Park on acid, and then, you know, you're pissing on the street anyway because it's New York. And then just it was a pretty wild time, but we made the most of it.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that sort of shit's fun. Like I was like, you know, when things really first shut down, I was in Austin, Texas at the time, and just ended up spending, you know, the first few weeks of the pandemic just hanging out in downtown Austin with nobody there, because nobody was in any of the hotels. So I was in like a ghost hotel, and and just, you know, when I would leave, there was nobody else around, so I didn't feel that threatened, you know. But I love the New York just being able to cruise around without all that car activity must have been so exciting.
Yeah, it was a nice, you know, way to appreciate the circumstance, even though, again, no shows, or not a lot of shows, and, you know, not really seeing people. And I did go back to Atlanta at one point and did some shows there during kind of the thick of it. And yeah, stayed in a hotel that was empty and did limited seating indoor shows and some outdoor shows down there. And that was fun. But it felt very different, you know, when you're doing these outdoor shows or indoor shows, and you're like, all right, this is us trying to do something similar to what works, but you know, comedy, you want it in a dark, damp underground space where the laughter is trapped. The laughter is contagious, so to speak. So when you're outside and it's just open air and, you know, loud car, you know, goes by blasting music, siren, somebody's dying, there's a fire, who knows?
Just there's a traffic jam nearby, so it sounds like they're heckling with all the honking.
Yeah, I did an outdoor show right when I moved back here to Austin like a year ago or a year and a half ago, and there was a car accident, like a real bad car accident, like half a block over where it was so loud. Then the sirens came, and it was distracting, obviously, because we were worried somebody had died. Like, it was awful. It was so hard to get the mind, like, everybody's mind off of it. So we finally had somebody run over and check. And then when we found out everybody's okay, I was like, all right, let's try to laugh again. Pretend that didn't happen. Such a nightmare.
Yeah, that's a weird... You don't want any audience to be worried during a performance.
Right. Yeah.
You know, where everyone's collectively wondering, oh, shit, something bad? Should we, like, go see what's happening instead of just here? Here's a fun thing that I discovered years ago, and I wonder if Justin's onto it yet, or if they even still do it. Because the city of New York, in August, a couple times I planned my comedy schedule around getting to come and do this, because New York would, Manhattan would just shut down Park Avenue from like the Brooklyn Bridge to however far it goes, like 78 or 100, however high it goes. They just cut it off to, okay, there'd be spots where there'd be a police station to let traffic through on occasion, but basically no lights, no traffic, just walking, bikes, roller skates, that kind of stuff. Both ways on Park Avenue on, I think it's weekends in August. So it's like they call it summer streets. Have you heard of this, Justin?
Yeah, I have. And, you know, it's kind of amazing just imagine, all right, this is the city without cars and honking. And, you know, it's safe to just congregate and move around. And, you know, certainly now that we were pretty casual about cannabis before, but now that it's, you know, just legal here,
oh my
god, it's amazing.
Yeah, I never did it while it was legal to have weed on you. Like, I've certainly been high riding a bike. I would just get a bike, you know. In fact, I'd stay in a hotel where that was part of the service. That was one thing they offered, is like you could, you know, rent out a, you know, they'd loan you a bike, and I would you know, it's just so fun to just ride up and down those streets. And like, especially there's that part where it loops around and goes, there's a little tunnel. And, you know, I don't know the names of the streets right where that happens, but that's where the like main like fight scene with the aliens at the end of the first Avengers happens.
Whoa.
And like, for it to be closed and you're riding on a bike, and when you go through the tunnel, when you come out of it, you know, New York's not a hilly place. It's mostly flat streets. So when you come out of the tunnel, there's a little bit of a downgrade going down Park Avenue. So you could actually get like some speed going. So now you're just flying down past all the lights on Park Avenue in New York on a, you know, sunny day. It's just a complete delight. So do you think did they skip a year during the pandemic, Justin, or do you think they just did it anyway because it's outdoors?
I feel like they just did it anyway because it was outdoors, and you know, we kind of had the thing where all the restaurants started moving into the streets, and
yeah,
you know, I guess if you used to park in the neighborhood, you're probably pissed, but it's kind of nice that, yeah, just to imagine walking around and, you know, thinking about, you know, if you're in like a European city where it's just more public spaces and, you know, like streets where there's not even enough room for cars, and, you know, you walk down, mm-hmm. and there's housing and stores and stuff. So it's just a nice different experience. And I think we'll be seeing more of that. I hope.
I feel like, you know, maybe I'm just crazy, but like I've been in New York for a
Well,
couple.
you are crazy, but go on.
I've been in New York for a couple now, and I feel like there is, you know, obviously there's still just tons of traffic and people, and it's a mess, but it just feels like there's a little less, you know, like that the driver community dropped off a little bit during the pandemic, and there's more, you know, and there's just more people trying to do, you know, more walking all the time.
Yeah, I think so. Like, if a lot of people are still working remotely, and these office buildings in Manhattan are more empty, and people are now like realizing how much they've been sitting on their ass for the past 2 years, so they're trying to make the effort to get out more.
Well, I've been, you know, doing more stand-up and Douglas movies tapings all over the place, but I'm in New York right now for a couple of days just because I just got off of a cruise that went out of New York, sailed out of New York, so that's why I'm here now, and I don't like have any shows or anything, but I'm hoping to get back into, you know, doing something, you know, in New York sometime this year, maybe even. You know, last year we skipped the annual 12 Guests of Christmas show at the Gramercy in New York. But the last one that we did do, was that the one where you were a guest? Or maybe it was two years ago, or 2 years pre-pandemic. But you were a guest on my show at the Gramercy. And, you know, I know it's Doug Loves Movies. It's not like Getting Doug with High or something. But still, what did security do when you got there?
Oh, I had a joint and, you know, a little protective tube. And, you know, even though I set them on the list and, you know, start checking me in, the security guy still has to stop me and pat me down. And, you know, he just has to take it. And I'm like, do you know what show this is? I'm also on the show. And then immediately I walk in and you're smoking a joint. And
yeah,
it was so the whole infuriating.
Thing, it made me so angry that like, okay, I get it. Like, just because Doug Benson's hosting the show doesn't mean everybody gets a free pass. But like, I've never, like, I rarely get patted down when I'm a performer in a show. Like, I rarely pat down the performers. So that's already weird. But then when they find something on you that the audience members aren't allowed to have because they don't want a bunch of people smoking joints in the audience, but that they regularly let the people do in the green room. I mean, even the name green room sort of becomes synonymous with the idea of, you know, green flower and smoking. And, you wink when you say green room. And, you know, so just even that, like, the whole thing was just crazy to me. But I also think that the world of security is, you know, an apology to anybody out there that is works security at venues, because I do appreciate being protected and take care, you know, like looking out for everybody. But at the same time, the power tripping that goes on when someone can do something like that is just, it's amazing to me.
Yeah, and what are the odds that he smoked that joint later that night?
I feel like he did. You know, threw it somewhere where it, you know, wasn't the garbage, probably.
Absolutely,
or maybe it,
yeah.
But even if it was the garbage, it was in a contained thing. So, like, you know, seen by people later. So somebody along the way got to smoke your joint. And
if you're listening right now, I want to say, you're welcome.
Yeah. Somebody got hella high thanks to an injustice that was betrayed upon your person. Like, I'm talking about it now. It happened a few years ago, but like, it's just really it was in my brain, you know? So like, even talking to the venue about coming back and doing the show again, I'd be like, hey, this time don't take weed away from my guests.
Yeah.
It's not too much trouble.
I mean, I think of how many concerts I've gone to where I just was an attendee and brought a joint in, no issue.
Right.
Almost every single concert I've been to. And then,
that's the thing. It'll surprise you when it'll happen. Like, one time, you know, I was getting off of a cruise ship and got pulled aside for having drugs. when I had gotten rid of all my drugs, but it was still enough drug residue on my bags that they were, the drug dogs were like, hey, so this guy's into drugs. But they couldn't find anything, so they ended up letting me go. But it was still like scary and weird. We're really chewing up time here with this conversation. I don't mind. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I'm glad to know that you're still as upset about it as I should be.
Well, that's the great thing. You know, if you're good at being a stoner, you're more upset about other people's battles than your own, you know, because you're a pretty chill person. But at the same time, when you see shit going on with other people, it's not fair. It's just like, it, you know, it's really off-putting. Like, I don't get, like, why that happened. And I still don't, because I think I even said something to somebody afterwards, and they were like, oh, sorry. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, well, so now that could or could not happen again. Like, that's what's always funny to me, is that, like, the latest cruise ship I went on, I just got rid of all my drugs before getting off because I didn't want to have the same situation. I even, like, you know, made extra steps of cleaning my luggage so it wouldn't, you know, have anything in it, and get off that ship and there's no dogs at all, you know, because it's like coming into a different city also affects how much, you know, because the other time it was in Miami. So like in Miami, they're more concerned about people bringing in drugs than apparently they are in New York. Hello?
Hello? I don't know. I was basking him what you said. I'm like, wow, I thought you were going to say in Miami, they're worried about people bringing them in than they're about leaving with them.
Well, they're never concerned about leaving with them. That's what that's been to, you know, every time I've left the country, I've been able to take as much stuff as I want. It's when, you know, it's going into a place that's, you know, so that's the great thing about cruise ships is you never go into a place, you know, when you dock places, you don't bring your weed off the boat. If you visit the island or wherever it is, you know, you just go out there. And like, that's the fun thing about cruises that go to Jamaica now is, when I've gone enough cruises to Jamaica where I went before and after Jamaica legalized weed. And when weed was illegal in Jamaica, you get off the boat and people be like, hey, you want some weed? And you'd be like, yeah, sure. And you pay them some money and you get and you get on the boat and you'd realize it's the shittiest weed or not even weed. You know, it was garbage because it wasn't illegal. It was less illegal to sell fake weed than it was to sell real weed when weed was illegal. But now that weed is illegal in Jamaica, you can just get nice, good weed. Just you get off the cruise ship and somebody will be like, hey, you want some weed? Yeah, how much? $20? Here you go. Thanks. And it's good weed because it's not in their best interest to sell you shitty weed because they're not going to get repeat customers and they can get actually good weed, you know? So, like, it's just a sweet change of behavior there that I now I'm waiting to get booked on another cruise. It's actually going to Jamaica because it's one I was just on. Jamaica wasn't one of the stops.
Yeah, I haven't been to Jamaica since they legalized it. But what you said before, yeah, that was my experience. It's just like, oh, well, this is technically, is it weed? I don't know. But, you know, if you want well, something. Yeah.
Because they'll get less trouble if they get caught because they're just getting caught for selling, you know, for pretending to sell you weed rather than actually selling you weed, which is the strangest concept.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Can you imagine a drug dealer in America, like selling fake drugs to kids and getting less of a charge because it was, they weren't really drugs?
No.
So we're going to talk about your name, Justin, someday on this show.
I'm looking forward to it.
Not with you, though. Down,
we break it down one part at a time. You heard us do it with, you said you listened to the Shane Mouse episode, which is probably, and it's Moss, I was just being silly, but it's the first, maybe the first time, probably it's happened once or twice, but first time somebody's admitted to listening to an episode of the show before participating in it. So kudos for that. But before we talk about your name, I got two questions for you. First one is, how many tats you got?
I've got two tats and two cats.
Can I just say, cats, I'm mildly surprised by it. I think of you maybe as more one cat or a dog person, but the two tats is surprising to me because you don't, to me, and don't, I don't know if you're gonna be offended by this, but to me, you don't present as a person who would have tattoos.
No, it's pretty recent. I got them both within the last year, and I even used to have a bit about
Well, I
how
don't
I
even
don't have any
know
tattoos.
you were
Yeah,
in that
but
case, I don't even know you anymore. If you just did this without,
I'm
didn't
sorry I
even
didn't
know it
tell
was
you
happening.
first. I should have
Yeah.
asked you, send you a picture. Is this okay? What do you think about the placement?
Or what are they?
So they're both on my legs, so I can still present as a non-tattooed person, if I'm wearing pants, which I do often. And the one on my thigh, it's based on an M.C. Escher drawing, with the stairs. It's kind of a design based on that, simplified. And then on my leg, I have it's a toad sitting on a stool.
Oh, it's a toad.
That one was just, they do these Friday the 13th deals where you just pick one off the sheet. I'm like, all right, that looks funny. And that was now on my shin, ankle. No, yeah, I don't know, the lower leg.
Why do you think you waited so long before getting too tattooed?
I think I'm pretty indecisive, and I'm kind of glad that I never picked any of the dumb ideas I had when I was 18, 19, 21,
Yeah, been
And I
there.
think,
Yeah,
oh, so I'm sure you've already talked about it, the dumb tattoos you have then, Doug.
Doug, I ask everybody how many tattoos they have because it never ceases to. I get such enjoyment out of the fact that Doug doesn't know how many tattoos he has.
Over 30?
Probably not. I don't know.
That's
I
what's
don't
so
even know the
funny. It's
ballpark.
not that many. It's not like he's like
Yeah.
covered in them.
Yeah.
But he's lost track. So, and
Yeah.
I
I
don't
don't know. I just feel
ever.
like I wanted to get them when I was younger, and I never could like decide on something I wanted. And I also think that because I started doing comedy in my early 20s, that kind of felt like such an outlet and space for creativity that I didn't need to, express
Oh,
myself
so
in the way of permanence.
these people
And
with
what
a
I
lot
like about comedy is that, it's vapor.
yeah, a lot of, if you have a lot of tattoos, it just means you're like trying to be extroverted, but the only way you could do it is with ink on your skin. It is a conversation starter, the ones you can see. Like people who have visible tattoos, I'm always kind of shocked by their willingness to have them out because, people are gonna just start talking about them in all sorts of random ways.
Right, so I like to keep it. I don't know. Eventually, I may get some in more visible places, but like I said, I had a joke about not having tattoos. So then I think because of that, it made me put off getting them even longer.
Oh, it's like my jokes about smoking weed. I can't wait to quit doing that. M.C. Escher. What's you like M.C. Escher, those upside downy things enough to put it on your body?
Yeah, I was just I wanted something, kind of surreal and cool, and it was still something I picked like the day I got it. I was in Greece last year,
It was be between
and
that and MC Hammer.
well, that's gonna go on the other thigh.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's okay. You can't touch this. Or just can't touch this, I guess, is the lyric. All right. That's enough tattoo talk, I guess. I just the M.C. Escher thing is just fascinating to me because it's just such a like I was wondering if you were just a fan of M.C. Escher.
Yes, but like I said, I mean, the design is kind of a simplified line drawing of that, with not a lot of detail. And I kind of knew before that I didn't want anything wild and colorful or too, you know, elaborate.
Yeah. I just think of, I knew a comic who used to say there's a mall in San Diego that they have stairs that go up and down in the most ridiculous manner. It was in downtown San Diego. And whenever he'd perform in San Diego and I'd be on the bill with him, and I always enjoy when he'd talk about that mall, because he'd just be like, his name is Greg Otto. And he'd say, you know, he'd talk about the mall and he'd be like, you go upstairs, then you're downstairs. Who designed this mall? M.C. Escher? And like, you know, it wouldn't get that big of a laugh because it was just like, people don't know where M.C. Escher is, I don't think. So, but I always love that line because it really is, the mall really was stupid the way the stairs worked. And so just say that. So now anytime I'm anywhere where stairs are going up and down, I'm just like, who designed this, M.C. Escher? okay, so let's move on to another thing that, you know, you're talking about the permanence, you know, having to pick something for a tattoo that like you have to live with. Have you ever gotten to name any pets?
That's funny enough. I already said, yeah, two cats, but no, I really don't think I have.
You didn't get to name them? They were like, you got them from a shelter or something with pre-named?
Yeah. My girlfriend had one cat before, Gizmo, and you know, great name.
Ooh, good name. Yeah.
Just don't get him wet.
Right. But I've taken to calling him Gimli. And that is now what I call him more than his real name. And now my girlfriend calls him that more than his real name. And the other cat we adopted pretty much like a year ago, maybe to the date. And he had the name Shinobi. And we're like, great name, keeping it.
Shinobi.
Oh, yeah.
Exotic. I was just thinking that, like, do you think people... I guess you could rename a dog or a cat. The animal get used to just hearing that sound come from you and realizing it means them, you know? But it's still, to me, like, I would feel bad about trying to rename an animal that would have already been going by a name. But also, do you think...
Well, that's why you got to buy new instead of used.
Oh, no. Don't buy new. No, or you just, you know, get one that's been found, but there's no collars, you know, so there's no name yet that we know of. So you get to pick a name. I'll try to do that.
Yeah, you got to get a.
I'm glad it works.
You got to get a pet.
I don't have to actually, but you know, I love them though. I love dogs and I like cats and I just can't own anything because I'm too into living a life where I can go out of town or, you know, not can go out of town. I do have to go out of town. That's what I do for a living. What time is it? How long have I been rambling? We're already so far into the episode. We haven't even taken a commercial break yet. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, I swear to God, we are going to talk. Because, you know, we got to get into it because I don't, we've had a lot of fascinating names on the show, but Justin Thompson, there's a
Is
lot
it one of them.
I'm not going to say it's common, but well, let's do it after the break. We'll be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back. We're back, and we're here with Justin Thompson, and let's start with your first name. What was it like growing up, Justin?
Well, you know, it's the only experience I had. So I got used to answering to the wrong name. People would call me Jason or whatever else. But I feel like I also, you know, the time I was born, it was a name that kind of really sprung into popularity.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing that, you know, people would just start calling me JT, never asked anyone to do that. People pick up on that. Yeah.
Who do you blame on that? Justin Timberlake or Justin Thoreau?
Justin Thoreau. He knows what he did.
Right? That son of a bitch. JT. So people just do that. Well, but also it is a good pair of initials, even if you're not trying to, you know what I mean? I think people JT Justin Timberlake because JT is good. You know, I think they put him in that box in the same way they're doing it to you, just because it's just a fun pair of initials.
Yeah. I wish I had a name that could be shortened into like a nickname.
Justy?
Oh, Justy, yeah. I'll go by that.
Nobody's tried that, though?
Oh, my girlfriend calls me that, but outside of that.
Okay. Else. Yeah. No, it's adorable adding a Y where it really just doesn't work. Plus, you have to lose a few letters because Justini doesn't make any sense. That just sounds like you're some sort of cocktail or something. But Justin, how, you know, from your perspective, did it seem like a common name or?
Yeah, it did.
That why you wanted sort of to have a fun nicknamey version of it, just because Justin sounds so formal?
Right. Yes, it's a very proper name, like the name of a diplomat. Right. I also got very tired of hearing the jokes, Justin Case, Justin Time. So then I've kind of, again, just to talk about jokes I do, I now do a joke about Justin Time, just to kind of flip it around, taking a dumb thing I've heard, you know, from so many people, and now making it my own.
Right. And then now people will have the pleasure of getting to make that joke because you already told them about it, and they'll still make it.
Yeah. And then I'm not as annoyed because I'm like, oh, right, yeah.
Takes a little bit of the sting out of it, but at the same time, you probably are encouraging more people to say it.
Well, I'm rarely on time, so that gives them less reason.
So if the shoe fits, right? Yeah, I thought about that when I was playing around with your name, the old, you know, Justin Time. I think there's even maybe been a vaudeville performer or something that went by that name, you know? Or maybe even it'd be a good roller derby name if your first name was Justin.
All right, just if I get in roller derby, I'm going
to
claim
just that. In time to save the day. Here he is, just in time. You know what I mean? That'd be fun for the announcers to get to talk about you. Justin Long, are you a fan of his work?
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Yeah, good actor. You've been on 12 Guests with him, right?
Right.
Yeah. Do you know Justin Kirk?
I don't think so.
He was on Weeds. He was like the main dude on Weeds with, what's her name?
Yeah, the guy.
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a good actor. So I'm just saying that for me, the famous associations with the name Justin are all positive.
Yeah, I think so. I think I can be grateful for that at least, you know.
Is there an athlete? Because I saw a show last night where they were joking about when you saw a show called Shucked on Broadway, and one of the jokes in it was you find out how many people you hate when you try to pick out a baby name.
Mm-hmm. So you got right? Shucked.
Every name you think of, you go, oh no, I can't name my baby that because of this guy that I hated or this.
Well, you know, do you find that when you meet someone, you think about like the first prominent person you met with that name? And that's kind of the association also?
I might do it now because of this show, but I don't think I used to do that. I guess everybody does it to a degree because you're always looking for something to latch on to. And if somebody has a name that's like, if somebody goes, you know, my name's Leonardo, like you immediately are like, oh, you know, DiCaprio or Da Vinci. Well, you know, that's it. Those are the references. So you're going to say something stupid about that, you know. Like if I met a Leonardo when I was on this cruise just now, I would just say, hey, why aren't you on the front of the boat screaming about being on top of it? But yeah, Justin, all these people, everybody that is named Justin seems to be pretty positive. And also, it does seem to be a name that, like you were saying earlier, I think, that kind of picked up steam more recently. Like, I can't think of any old-timey actors named Justin something.
Yeah, none of the founding fathers.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson wasn't a thing. But that'd be a cool name. So that's, were your parents naming you after somebody, or just like picking a name that was seemed to be like kind of you know, growing in popularity?
Yeah, I think it was just a name that my mom had heard and liked, and so my brother's name is James, so I think she also wanted to continue that along. And all right, you know, I guess I could have just as easily been Jeff or Jason, but yeah, she went with Justin.
Jerk off. So,
yeah, Jerk off Thompson. I've heard that one before.
Joshua.
Yeah.
I'm just going Jordan.
Right. So my brother, his name is James. He's not the second, but named after my father, who is James. And I just got to share this. My dad, his whole life, I've known him, he went by Jimbo. And that's just lets you know where I'm from. Very southern family. And then my brother was named James, but he never went by James either. He was called Buddy by everyone.
What?
And still is. Like my dad just kind of gave him that nickname when, you know, he was very little, and then it just stuck.
Wow.
And even so much so, this also will show you how different we are. My brother has a forearm tattoo that's the Buddy written down his arm vertically. It's so terrible. Terrible font, terrible like tattoo work. And it's just his name.
Does he say to strange Buddy, or is it more of a nickname of Noah?
No, you know, everyone calls him Buddy. Like, he's like a chef, and on his chef coat it will say Buddy.
Wow, that is wild.
When he's yelling at them, they have to go, "Yes, sir, Buddy."
yeah, Buddy. Yeah, so
yeah, Buddy, Mr. Buddy. Yeah,
it's pretty ridiculous. So growing up, like with, again, my dad, Jimbo, my brother, Buddy, and I'm just Justin. I'm like, all right, my name's kind of normal, I guess.
Yeah. You should, have you thought about like doing a comedy album called Well Adjusted?
No, I would call it Justin Time. And then the other side is Justin Space. Double album.
I like it. I like a theme album. I support it entirely. Like the Justin Space side, if it's all jokes about astronomy, that'd be amazing.
I'll work on it.
What's your middle name?
My middle name is Michael.
Okay. What is going on with this naming?
I don't know. I didn't pick it.
Yeah, I know. JMT, we're talking about initials. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a condition or something. Can't move my mouth because I've got JMT. Like that, I don't know. Michael is a family name in that case, or
no? Not name? Really. I mean, just something that, you know, my mom said it just sounded good in the middle, and I guess a biblical name, you know.
I give it your parents for the three, you know, giving you the three double syllables.
It's very strong.
So always good. I don't like it gets, you know, it gets a little rocky when people change up the syllables from name to name. So just Justin Michael Thompson, very, you know,
it builds. You know, each step. Yeah.
Got a good build. Yeah, so we might as well get to it. Thompson, how's that worked out for you? People spell it right most of the time.
I think they do, even though, you know, there are a ton of variations on it, or Thomason. Or,
sure.
You know, sometimes without the P, almost everyone gets the spelling right. And
yeah, they'd have to hear it wrong, I think, to think that it's anything but how it's spelled.
Should I start pronouncing it Thompson so people can really know?
That is interesting that people know to put the H there, but it's just nobody's named Thompson without an H.
Right. And that's not, yeah. Right.
So that's how
right. It's there.
And then there's,
so, you know, it's some kind of, it was like Thomason that sometime, you know, over time got morphed. And I guess it also implies that at one point in time, there are a lot of people with the father named Thomas. I don't know.
I know, right? That's how I feel about Benson. It's like, oh, is this somebody's father's name was Ben? That's how we got here? Okay. But Thompson,
whose dad was named Tomp?
What's that?
Tomp.
Whose dad was named Tomp?
Tomp Thompson.
I don't know, man. Like, no one has the name Tomp, like with the P.
Right.
No, it's definitely Tom. So I don't know how that P got in there. Like, why is there a P in there? Because Thompson, I think I've heard that before. That's a name. It's just like how there's Tompkins and Tompkins. That there's both of those out there in the world. But sometimes that just comes from like a family, immigrant family, deciding to tweak something just to make it easier to pronounce, less foreign sounding. But as far as famous Thompsons go, it's interesting that I think the three most famous Thompsons right now in the world of entertainment are all ladies.
Yeah. Tessa.
Yeah. We got Tessa, Emma, and Leah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The only Thompson I could think of that was a man that was famous is a guy who passed away. His name was Fred Thompson, and he was an actual politician who late in life became an actor who showed up in lots of cool movies, even though he was pretty hardcore Republican. But I guess he was pleasant to be around, or pleasant enough to get a lot of acting work. But yeah, I don't know what else there is to say about Thompson other than, like, you know, it's just a solid last name that, I mean, do you feel like a Thompson? Do you feel like you've grown into it, or do you feel like feels too formal for you? Like, you'd have like to have a sillier last name as a comedian?
I feel like I would prefer a different name just because, you know, given two common names, like, there are so many other Justin Thompsons in the world and have been, you know, there's been athletes and, you know, there's a musician. And I've even met another comedian named Justin Thompson.
What?
Oh, wow.
At
Where's
least
that
one.
Asshole working out of? What?
Well, he was based in Texas, but he died 2 years ago. Oh. So I planted my flag by just surviving.
Oh, man, you really, the way you told that really set me up to be mean to a dead person.
I was hoping you would, but, you know, I, like, went there, last time, I think he was maybe Houston-based. Like, I performed there, and people were like, whoa, we saw your name, and then you're not the guy here, and they're like, well, you're already way funnier than him. I'm like, all right. Oh, I don't know how to feel about it, but now that he's dead, you know, I guess rest in peace, Justin Thompson.
Wow. But that's
do you inherit his jokes? Right?
I don't know. Do I?
Well, it sounds like you didn't want to.
No, I didn't. From what I saw, I'm okay. Oh, I'll keep doing mine.
Yeah, that's part of the problem is you can't just inherit any jokes. They got to be, you know, not only good, but also, like, you know, seem like your voice. You know, you probably end up having to.
Yeah.
Probably end up having
a very different.
Yeah, you probably have to rewrite his stuff a little bit, but you know,
punch
might
it
be
up.
worth look might be worth looking into because he's not doing it.
I don't want to leave jokes on the table, but
do you think there's footage of him that exists?
Definitely. I
really like he was on TV.
Not on TV, like, so, you know, if it was a race to late night, it's, you know, neither one of us has made it yet, but maybe this podcast will turn that around for me. So that was just clips on YouTube, you know.
Okay. You can't see him do stand up on the internet.
I think so.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Well, you know, pick a good clip of his and then, you know, post it the next time you're playing a club, see if people show up.
That's a good idea. And but because of the commonality of the name, I've never been able to come up with a good social media handle that wasn't taken.
Right.
And I end up changing them like every year. I'll just change my Twitter and Instagram because I'm like, I don't know, I get bored. And
it's so hard to figure out. I can never figure out what your social media handles are. Every time I try to do it, I just, because you type in Justin Thompson, that's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Which most people, even if their name isn't their name, when you type their actual name, something will come up and go, oh, okay, this is like my Instagram is You Don't Know Doug. But if you type Doug Benson, that's the first thing that comes up is You Don't Know Doug. So you can get there. But in your case, a trillion Justin Thompsons come up and I have no idea which one, you know, is you. So what is your current name on Instagram?
My Instagram is Tompso Justin. So I just, you know, flipped around and dropped the letter.
Tompso Justin. Okay, then what's your Twitter?
It's Tompso.
Not that that's going to end anyway, but anyway. Yeah,
it's Tompso Tweets.
Tompso. What is, well, now this Tompso thing, what about, why not have some fun with that? Why don't you change your stage name to just merely Tompso? First of all, there's only comedians that only go by one name. It already makes you really stand out. Hey, Tompso's here. Who wouldn't want to see Tompso?
I was going to pitch that. You know, I was going to ask you guys, well, what should my new social media handles be? But I think we got it.
Okay, so Instagram is Tompso Instagrams.
It's Tompso Justin. Maybe I'll change it to Tompso Instagrams right now, just to make it difficult.
Yeah, that's probably too many letters, but it's just so funny that the other one is Tompso Tweets. Is there underscore in Tompso Tweets, or you just got it all?
No, it's just all there.
That's good. I got one more quick question for you before you go, and that is, aside from Doug Mellard, who you just met, and myself, who are your top Dougs? Like, what Dougs have you known?
Personally?
Mm-hmm. Or professionally?
I mean, I'm drawing a blank, you know? I should have been prepared for this.
You don't
this
know
question.
Anyone else named Doug?
Besides you?
In
no.
your whole life, you've never had a friend named Doug?
Wow.
No, I've met other comedians, you know, on the road named Doug. And sorry to you, Dougs, that I can't remember any of your last names.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely other Doug comedians out there that we don't know yet, or, you know.
They're on the rise. They're up and coming.
Social media. But there's Doug Smith is in New York, right?
Right.
You met him?
I think so.
Yeah, and Doug Stanhope is, you know, he's just touring around all over the place, but you're probably familiar with him.
Of course. And I just think of, you know, the Nickelodeon cartoon, Doug.
Yeah.
That's Doug Funny. Yeah, and I didn't want to bring that up, but here we go.
Yeah, we get it. You know, you listen to an episode, probably heard it. It comes up every time. It really is just a... that name is associated with that. Like for me, also the last name Benson, like has just always, I think it's fading now, but it used to always be associated with the, you know, Robert Guillaume TV sitcom called Benson.
And isn't that where Seinfeld first appeared on TV?
He did his first so-called acting on that show.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He just played like some uptight assistant to the black, whatever he was at the time. I think he's supposed to be a governor or something, maybe president. But yeah, it was somebody gave Jerry a very good break, because nothing about his stand-up suggested to be a good actor, and then nothing about his acting suggested to be a good actor ever, but he's gotten okay at it just through repetition. And also, probably the closer the storylines hewed to things that actually happened to him on Seinfeld, is probably the better he got at acting out the scenarios, you know?
Yeah.
He's real good at acting awkward with people in real life, so, you know, just transfer that to the show. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not awkward ever. I'm never awkward. All right. Listen, Thompson. It's been great talking to you. This show has kind of weirdly become a way for me to like catch up with old friends. And what would you like to plug?
Hey, well, it's great catching up with you too. And hopefully we'll both be able to be back on the road and do more in person. And I want to plug my show. I run a monthly show here in Brooklyn called Drop Up Video. I have a panel of comedians come on stage and everyone picks a music video for us to show and make fun of. So, you know, it's kind of like Mystery Science Theater, but for people with short attention spans, as they say it. And the next one will be April 14th at Pine Box Rock Shop. And then we have second Friday of every month there. So May 12th and yada, yada, yada on. You can find that at dropupvideo.com or on Instagram at dropupvideo. I'll also be taking that show on the road this late summer and fall. So I'm looking at going back to Atlanta and trying to hit Boston, Philly, you know, Denver, Austin, Chicago, all the places. And if you know of a venue that can facilitate having a screen and four microphones, reach out. We'd love to come there. You know, in comedy, that's a lot to ask for a venue. So that's super fun. And I also will just drop another plug. If you don't live in a major city, and you can follow me on Instagram at TompsoJustin. And if you're into Twitch, I play video games on there. It's chill. It's funny. And that's TompsoTV.
Oh, okay. Oh, we don't get a lot of people plugging their Twitch thing. That's cool. Doug Mellard, what do you got to plug, buddy?
I will next be here in Austin, Texas at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival, which is April 12th through the 23rd. So you got many chances to come on out for Moon Tower Comedy Fest.
They should just have it all year.
Just yes, it feels like it by day 40. It feels like it's been a year. But
that is a long ass festival. Fun time. But yeah, real
it sure
fun.
Is.
I got all my dates at douglasmovies.com. The next thing that's coming up that's in person is Douglas Movies at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles on April 16th at 4:20. And yeah, I'm just leaving New York tomorrow to come back to California, and we'll bring you more new episodes of Wide World of Doug's over the next 2 weeks. And thanks again, Justin.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Thompson, nobody calls friends at all call you Thompson, or hasn't caught on?
Not yet, but we're building momentum.
All right. I might try it. I might call you Thompson the next time I see you. Justin still seems easier, but Thompson is definitely fun. And we always do like a pun based on, you know, with the name Doug for the closing and the title of the episode. So, as always, confiscated Dougs.